We have 15 house churches that meet all over the city. In fact, if you're a house church leader here, can you stand up really quick and so we can acknowledge your face and thank you guys? Let's give them a nice big round of applause. All right, you guys can sit down. And so, what we want to do, or what our hope is, that because as a church, we value prayer, you know. And because we do that, what we want you to do is we actually want you to pray about which house church you should go to. You know, some house churches, maybe the time may be more convenient. Some, you know, your friends and you like them more, you know, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Those are all great, you know. I mean, that's not a disqualifier, but it's also not a quantifier as well. You know, what's even better is the place where God wants you to be at. And so what we ask you to do is you can go online and you saw some of these leaders and whatnot, and we really encourage you to pray and say, God, where do you want me to go? You know, where would you want me, you know, because you can have a convenient time, but that house church may not be the best for you. You know, you can go to the place where all your friends are, but that may not be the place where you'll grow. And so because that's the heart's intention, right, we encourage you to pray, you know. And I mean, you know, Pastor Sam, well, can I just visit all 15 house churches this year? Well, yeah, you can. You know, I mean, all things are permissible, but not all things are beneficial. You know, and so you'll never find a community hopping from one place to another, right? And so instead of going to a place and like, well, I like the food better here, you know, and then you go to the next place the other week, well, I like the worship leader better here. And then next week you go to a different place and, you know, instead of saying, well, what do I want? What is best for my taste? You know, what do I feel better at? Instead of saying, God, where do you want me to be at? You know, where do you want me to fellow? Where's the place where I'm going to grow the most? You know who knows that answer? Not you. God does. And so it'd be pretty important for us to pray and ask God for those things, right? Does that kind of make sense? You know, I mean, are you going to be excommunicated from the church or, you know, or not asked? No, you're not. Right? I mean, you can do that, but again, it may not be the best thing for you. You know, because honestly, I mean, sometimes, maybe, I mean, just out of the blue, maybe you have a disagreement with someone, you know? And then maybe that house church where that other person is might be the best house church for you, right? Because that's the place where you're going to grow, you know? And so, you know, I mean, if you just want to hang out, right, by all means, don't pray, you know? But if you're serious about growing and being disciple and running hard after God and all these things that we know are going to happen during this time, right, then ask the Lord. Say, Lord, you know, which one do you want me to be at? And then, you know, we have great leaders that stood up and, you know, you can go and talk to them and, you know, ask them questions and whatnot. Because, you know, I mean, frankly, you know, Thursday nights, if you're, you know, you got stuff already going on, obviously you can cross out Thursday nights, right? I mean, we have to be practical as well. And things, and so, you know, and there may be different times and different places, you know. But again, right, we are not a people, and this is the key, friends. We are not a people, or we shouldn't be a people, that base our lives on convenience. Right? I think only two people heard me, okay? Let me say that again, right? We should not be a group of people that base our lives, especially our spiritual lives, on convenience, right? We should base our lives on the will and heart of God. God, what do you want? You know, and what that is, it moves us from being self-centered. I'm not saying you're selfish, right? But being self-centered. In other words, you are the center of the universe besides being God-centered. Self-centeredness is, well, I go here because it's convenient. I go here because it works, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? But God-centeredness says, Lord, I want to go where you want me to go. Because wherever you want me to go is the place of growth, right? That's the place of community for me, you know, and we go along the way. Does that kind of make sense, right, to everyone, right? So that's kind of our party line, right? And, you know, but again, right, by all means, you know, as you, the Lord is moving on you, because sometimes you need to go to a place where you get a sense of what the Spirit is doing in that place, right? And so you're free to visit, right? But let that be mixed in with a lot of prayer, right? Because we're prayer-driven. We want a prayer-driven life, you know, in our lives. The other thing that I want to mention to you is that last Thursday morning, very sadly, one of our board members, Charles Hahn's father, went to be with the Lord. He was diagnosed with esophageal cancer, a very, very late stage. And initially, the doctor only gave him a few months to live, and he fought the good fight, and he went very peacefully. Fortunately, the whole family was able to gather together during this time and say their goodbyes to their dad, and he went to be with the Lord on that day. I want to encourage you to continue to pray for Charles and his family. He's got a younger brother, Chester, who's married and has a kid, and his mom. And their mom actually is a pastor. She actually pastored in the church where I was raised up, you know, and so we had a relationship with that family. And so please do keep them in your prayers. I talked to Charles on the phone, and he, you know, he just mentioned how appreciative he was of the community. And, you know, he told me, he says, you know, it's not the sense that he didn't value, but I never realized the importance of having people in your lives and having a strong church community, you know, to support you in some of the darkest times of your life. And so, you know, if you know Charles, you know, and even if you don't, you know, send him an email, you know, give him a call if you're able to. His Hong Kong phone is shut down and stuff. And so, but, you know, just send him an email and just, you know, wish his parents the best. And obviously, you know, the best thing we can do is actually pray for the Han family during this time. Amen. Fasting and prayer, right? I just made up a new word, right? We're going to do fasting from now on, you know. But prayer and fasting changes the world, right? Time and time again, the people of God were called to action by prayer and fasting. You know, even identities and even new destinies were charted during this time. You know, for me personally, honestly, I owe ministry. You know, I mean this with all my heart. I owe ministry to seasons of prayer and fasting, right? As honestly I can say, I mean, some of you guys already figured this out by just talking to me individually, right? But I'm not a smart guy. You know, I wish you'd have known me before. You know, I took speech class when I was in college, and I was so horrible at speech. You know, I would get the biggest, I would get a heartburn, you know, deep in my stomach, and I'd be hunched over all day. I was just horrible at public speaking, you know, and all different kinds of things. But man, what God can do, right, through a person's life, you know, and I owe ministry, right, to seasons of prayer and fasting. That things just happen in my life. You know, and I've seen continually through, you know, almost 20 years now of serving the Lord in ministry, right, that you know, fortunately, people just grow. I can't explain it. It's just beyond myself, you know, and I know, you know, in my heart of hearts, right, it's not my abilities, it's not my intelligence, it's God at work. He goes above and beyond. You know, and this is how it works out. And if you turn to Acts chapter 13, this is not the sermon, but this is the pre-sermon. And if you're not very interactive, we might have a post-sermon. So, right? Acts 13, verse 1. Look what it says. Now, there were Antioch in the church, and there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with the Herod, the Tetrarch, and Saul. And while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them." Then they had fasted, and when they had fasted, they prayed and laid their hands on them and sent them away. Right? The New Testament church not only practiced fasting individually, but they practiced it corporately. You know, you have this group of people here, right? This 5, 7, 8 people. They were prophets and teachers, and they were an evangelist, and they were ministering to the Lord, right? Out of the ministry to the Lord, they received a clear direction and power for that direction. So you can imagine, here was a group of people, prophets, teachers, evangelists. They were gathered together, right? And they started praying to the Lord. They started fasting, giving themselves to God. And the Spirit said, "Hey, set apart for me these two guys, Barnabas and Saul." who were one of the prophets and one of the teachers, right, that were in the early church. The Holy Spirit points these guys out for a special task and then empowers them for the task, right? They laid hands on them, and then they sent them out. Before, they were only known as prophets and teachers. After they were sent out for their task, guess what? They became apostles. Turn to chapter 14. Look at verse 14. Actually, verse 4 also mentions it as well, right? And some side with the apostles in verse 14. But when the apostles, and so Luke wants to make it clear, who are these talking about? He's talking about Barnabas and Paul. Heard of it, they tore their robes and rushed out in the crowd, crying out, and et cetera, et cetera. Do you see the shift of identity, right? Of an elevation in God that takes place? Before prayer and fasting, there were just a group of prophets and teachers. Then the Spirit comes upon them. Something happens. They get commissioned, called out, commissioned, laid hands, sent out. And from that day forward, right, they're known as apostles. See, God changes people's identities through these seasons of prayer, through these seasons of seeking God's face. You know, the apostolic ministry of Paul and Barnabas was birthed out of collective prayer and fasting in Antioch. I'll show you another one. Turn to chapter 14 and go to verse 21. Verse 21, right? You see a whole identity, a whole shift that takes place here. And in 21 it says, "And after they had preached the gospel to that city, had many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples," right? Circle that word, disciples, "encouraging them to continue in the faith and saying, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. And when they had appointed elders for them in every church, having prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed." Right? Each group, right, of believers in the city were simply known as disciples. But after a season of prayer and fasting, they became known as the church. This is where it's established. The church was established after a season of prayer and fasting. They moved from disciples, right? Then they had, now the elders were installed, and they became the church. You know, the passage we read before, right? There were prophets and teachers. A season of fasting takes place. And what happens? Now they become apostles, right? God changes identities, right? God does something, right, in the midst of this season, you know, that people go through. Right, the establishment of the local church in each city was accomplished through collective prayer and fasting. Right, and so it makes you want to think, you know, like, wow, I wonder what God's going to do with us after this season of collective prayer and fasting. And I wonder what God's got up his sleeves for us. You know, in this, I wonder what kind of identities, right, he wants to transform us into. I wonder what kind of special task, right, that the Lord will offer to us during this time. You know, brothers and sisters, we are not fasting to earn God's approval, right, nor to get his love or to get the pastor's approval. We are fasting because God loves us. Listen, it is a holy response, right? We're not twisting God's arm for him to give us something that we believe we should have, right? That's not what this whole thing's about, right? You know, it's a holy sacrifice. You know, and the Jewish people, they had a really good basis of really understanding this. I think that Christians should really rise up in, right? And so, you know, the Jews, they had this idea. It was called gnomism. And, you know, and I've taught this many times, right? But it begs repeating again. You know, what that meant is because they recognized they were chosen of God. And because they recognized they were chosen of God, they served, they act, they did kind of things. But it's because they knew they were loved. They knew that God had approved of them as a people. And so out of that love and approval, they begin to serve and begin to give and begin to sacrifice. You know, what happens a lot of us is many of us, we have not made that shift yet in our mind, and we're doing things to get that approval, right? But that's not the way God works. He already loves us, right? You know, because God loves me, I do. Instead of I do, so God can love me. It's a shift occurs, right? And these guys understood this. And then we're not fasting to get his love, to earn anything. You know, and we're in this place and we say, Lord, God, I am hungry. You know, I don't know about you guys, but this week I was a little hungry. You know, but it's coming to that place and saying, Lord God, but I'm more hungry for you. Lord, I am more hungry for you. God, I am tired. You know, and this happens, right? We get tired. We get worn down, you know. But it's saying, but God, I am energized in you. And then we say, Lord, I'm weak. Oh, I feel so weak. But God, right, I am strong in you. I'm strong in you, right? It's a shift, you know, that occurs, you know, in our life. It's a shift that occurs in our minds, right? Listen, it really doesn't matter what you're fasting. You know, a meal or alcohol or TV, internet, meat, sweets, or, you know, whatever the case may be. You know, what matters is that we are doing it unto the Lord. And it's something that's precious to us. It's something that's precious to us. You know, for me, I've been really blessed during this time. And a lot of it is I really feel God speaking to me very, very clearly about certain things. You know, and one of the things that's really like just time and time again, a message that's coming out is I feel the Lord just challenging me. He says, Sam, go beyond yourself. Go beyond yourself. You know, and I know exactly what he's talking about. Right, and I've been really just charged, just, you know, letting those words just sink deep in, right? And you know, and I just want to say, God, that's what I want. I want to go beyond myself. I want to go beyond my own abilities. I want to go beyond my ability to pray. I want to go beyond my ability to give. I want to go beyond my ability to serve. I want to go beyond my ability to love. You know, and I'm realizing that I've been operating primarily on my own strength this whole time. You know, I've been doing what I can do. You know, I've been handling things the way I can handle things. Right? But if we only do what we can do, how will God move in our lives? You know, and what I feel like the Lord is saying, Sam, give me some space to be God. You know, because basically what I've been doing is I've become God. Because I'm only doing what I can do. Right? I'm only operating out of what I can operate in. You know, and God's saying, Sam, will you just get out of the way a little bit? And just give me some space to work in your life so I can be God and do so much more exceedingly abundantly than what you can ever ask or imagine. You know, and my heart, I know that's right. I just want to say, yes, God, amen. But it's hard to get out of the way. You know, and so this year, I've been trying to challenge myself to go a little deeper, right, to go a little longer. Right, to aim a little higher, you know, in my life. And because I don't want to look at the end of 2012, you know, and this is really my heart, right? I don't want to look at the end of 2012, and I just simply did what I can do on my own strength. Right? I just prayed the way I can pray, I gave the way I can give, you know, love, all these things. I just did everything on my own strength, what I can handle. I feel like, man, what a failure of a year that will be, right? And God's just saying, give me some space. And I feel like he's not just saying it to me. I think he's saying it to all of us, right? He's saying, will you, you know, son, daughter, will you just give me some space in your life and just let me be God? Don't just do what you're capable of doing. Don't just do what you always have done. And you're capable, you're smart, you're gifted, you're talented, all these. But can you just get out of the way a little bit? And God's saying, let me just be God for a season of your life, actually forever in your life. You know, because he has so much more in store, right? You know, you got to believe that we need to experience so much more than we're experiencing now, right? Because Jesus Christ died on the cross. Right, and so it's a challenge before me. It's a challenge before you, you know. And so yeah, it's all to say there's a lot of wonderful things that are happening. You know, one of the other, you know, nice things is that my wife could be witness to this is because you know I'm not eating anymore, and you know I made a commitment to still sit with my family. It's a huge value for us as a family, you know, to sit down and have a meal together and say grace and. You know, and share and whatnot, and I'm a pretty fast eater, right? And I was like that since I grew up. You know, I had, you know, a huge family, right? Two other brothers, my dad, and frankly, they're kind of pigs, right? And so, they ate fast. If I didn't eat, man, you know, if I didn't eat fast, I didn't eat, right? And so we would race and stuff. You know, I mean, this is actually a point of bitterness to me still. But my mom would bring home like a box of ice cream sandwiches, right? You know, like a, you know, those old Carnation 24 box, right? And I swear, if I didn't eat like 10 a day, my brother would eat them all, right? And so I'd be going in the kitchen grabbing three at a time because I knew that he was going to eat it before I did. And so I grew up like that. And so I'm eating, you know, and eat fast. And I ask the kids, hey, how you doing? And I eat and I leave, right? And stuff. And so I'm not really being such a good dad, right? And so now because, you know, I'm not eating, I just watch them eat. And like I can pray during that time and just ask them how they're doing. And, you know, and it's actually quite nice, right? And, you know, I should have figured this out a long time ago, right? You know, it's only been 10 years of marriage, right? And stuff. But I'm learning, you know. So I was at McDonald's yesterday. I took the girls there with me because, you know, they came out to morning prayer in the morning here. And it's kind of interesting. I mean, it's kind of a side note, but my girls, 6 and 4 years old, came out to morning prayer. I just let that sink in with you a little bit, right? They loved it, man. You know, Elise came with me the last Saturday, you know, and she's like, can I come, can I come? I said, so she came with me, did a great job and stuff, and she did ask one thing. She asked Lisa, says, Mommy, why do people pray like this? You know, and stuff. So I think she was looking at Matt or something, and it's kind of perplexing to her, but it's another note, right? And so we were eating, and you know, so they came on. So Emma actually begged to come to EMP, right? And so she says, Unni, you know, which is like sister, older sister, you know, please wake me up, right? And so, you know, Elise woke her up, and so we both came out to morning, all three of us came out to morning prayer, right, at a great time. And so I took them after some activity in the morning. And we're sitting at McDonald's, and, you know, and they were eating, and I was just talking to them. And then all of a sudden, Elise turned to me and says, Appa, do you like to preach? You know, I said, yeah, I love to preach. You know, I said, so, do you like it when people come to church? I said, yeah, I love when people come to church. He goes, why? Because God is so awesome. You know, and then we're having this, you know, long discussion about how awesome God is and how big God is. And, you know, and it's just Elise and I don't even know Emma was, you know, listening to conversation and whatnot. And we're talking about, yeah, God is so huge. God is so good. He's so awesome. That's why I like people to come to church so they can know about God and blah, 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 all these things. You know, and then Emma just pipes in out of nowhere and she goes, yeah, he doesn't even need a jacket, you know. And what she meant by it, because it was cold these days, and so we kept telling her, Emma, you got to wear a jacket, you know, take your jacket off, put your jacket on, right? And so she thinks God is so big, he doesn't even need a jacket, you know? He can go out in the cold and he's okay. He's like Superman, you know? And I was like, oh, yeah, you do know God, right? And so it's quite nice. And, you know, I mean, those are special moments, right, that come from prayer and fasting, you know? I mean, they should actually just come every day, but now I can just be quiet during this time. And, you know, and in this season, I mean, I kid you not, it's warfare. I mean, it's been a little tough, all right? I mean, just honestly, right? It's been a little tough, you know. But what the Lord keeps reminding me during this time, you know, is Matthew chapter 4, right? And I see the warfare, right? You know, this week, the temptation of temptations came to my face, right? I mean, you know how the enemy knows us so well, right? You cannot tempt me with, I mean, I don't care, right? But you bring this to my face, I'm like, you got to be kidding me, enemy, right? And when I saw this email that came my way, my first thing was, get behind me, Satan, right? And some of you guys know that In-N-Out came to Hong Kong today. It's over now, so you can't go, okay? But for 4 hours, they did a tasting. They did it in Shanghai a few months ago. And so they're thinking about moving to Hong Kong, right? Some of you guys are not from Southern California. You have no idea what we're talking about. It is the most glorious burgers, right? I mean, in fact, just give me a second just to... Okay. Right? And so this temptation comes where I get this in and out and, you know, and all of a sudden I'm like emailing, you know, things and... I think I even like chewed Tom out because, you know, he sent an email and said, oh, In-N-Out's coming. And then someone else wrote it's a hoax, you know, and I wanted to kill Tom for sending the email out. And, you know, and then it ends up being true, right? And in any case, right, I'm dwelling on this a little bit more. But what I sense when this happens, right, is a shift in our hearts. Because what it's about
It's like Jesus, right? The enemy turns, this is my own paraphrase version, right? The enemy turns and says, hey, Jesus, you're pretty hungry, aren't you? You haven't eaten in a while. You know, and then he comes and he says, why don't you turn this stone into bread? Remember what Jesus prayed? What his response is, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Is quoting Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. Amazing, right? And I feel like during this time, a season of fasting, that we're engaged in this warfare as well, right? And the enemy is saying, says, hey man, aren't you hungry? Hey, don't, you need, look, you're breaking down, you know? Like, you can't even do your work well. Come on, you know, let's simply do this kind of stuff. And every time that happens, I just feel like, no, listen, sucker, right? Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. There's another translation that says it takes more than bread to stay alive. It takes a steady stream of words that flow from God's mouth. You know, and I am continually reminding myself, right, in this time, food is not what keeps me alive. Drink is not what keeps me alive. Air is not what keeps me alive. In a sense, it's true, right? God keeps me alive. And every time I feel hungry, it's a response, yes. Man, me, Sam, I do not live by food alone. I live, right, as God ordains in my life. I live because He allows me to live. I exist for His glory, right? I don't exist, you know, and we'll eat eventually, right? You know what I mean? But for us, just for a season of time, just for a small season, to continue to remind ourselves what Jesus' journey was. And he recognized, Lord, the food is not what keeps me alive. God is the one that keeps me alive. Right? And it's for us to come into this place to recognize that. And I want to tell you guys, in whatever fast, whatever, if you're not hungry in this fast, in some ways you're doing it wrong. It's off a little bit. You know what I mean? You know, and I'm not necessarily saying hungry for food. Right, but if you're doing like an internet fast and you're hungry for Facebook or you know what I mean, where that's, there should be something there. There's a craving in that way, and we say, no, I do not live. I do not exist for that. I exist for the glory of God. I exist for His purposes, and a shift occurs in our life. Right, that's this season of fasting that we're at. Right, this is what we're talking about. Right, it's not about food. Right, it's not about activities. It's about a heart, right, that's given over to the Lord. It's about a heart that's committed to God and saying, God, I just want your purposes. I don't want the food. I don't want the internet. I don't want these things. I enjoy these things, God. They're a gift from you. But for this season of my life, God, I'm going to give myself to you. I'm going to deny myself. I'm going to sacrifice something, right, to see something established in my life. You know, and Pastor Nate, in the beginning of the service, he talked about, man, he recognizes weaknesses. Man. You know what that takes in your life for such a prideful people to recognize our weakness? That is a work of God. You know, most of us are quite full of ourselves, some more than others. Let's just be honest, you know? And stuff, and for that conviction to come in our life that says, you know what? I'm weak. I'm weak. That is a work of God in our life. You know, and it takes sometimes literal weakness to bring us to those places and these experiences. Amen? All right, let's get to the sermon. Turn to Daniel chapter 10. Next Sunday, we're going to break the fast at church in both services. And so we're going to set up the communion table after the benediction, after the service is over and you're on the 21-day fast. You can come up to the front and receive prayer and receive the Lord's Supper during that time, right? And then you're blessed. And next week I'm also going to talk about how to break a fast, right? So you don't have diarrhea for 10 days, right? And stomach cramps and, you know, I mean, this is, you know, honestly, this is where you need to be disciplined. Right? This is where the discipline comes. You thought you need to be disciplined when you can't eat? Imagine the discipline you need when you can eat. Right? It's a whole other ball game, man. Right? So I'll tell you some horror stories next week. from our church members, right, that didn't listen to me, and myself, who didn't listen to myself, right? And so let's go to Daniel chapter 10. Let's read this from verse 1. If you need a Bible, just raise your hand, and one of our ushers will make sure you get one. Daniel chapter 10. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, who was named Belteshazzar. And the message was true and one of great conflict, but he understood the message and had an understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, had been mourning for 3 entire weeks. I did not eat any tasty food, nor did meat or wine enter my mouth, nor did I use any ointment at all until the entire 3 weeks were completed. On the 24th day of the first month, while I was by the bank of the great river, that is the Tigris, I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, there was a certain man dressed in linen, whose waist was girded with a belt of pure gold of Uphaz. His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes were like flaming torches, his arms and feet like the gleam of polished bronze, and the sound of his words like the sound of a tumult. Now I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, while the men who were with me did not see the vision. Nevertheless, a great dread fell on them, and they ran away to hide themselves. So I was left alone and saw this great vision, yet no strength was left in me, for my natural color turned to a deathly pallor, and I retained no strength. But I heard the sound of his words, and as soon as I heard the sound of his words, I fell into a deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground. Then behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. And he said to me, O Daniel, man of high esteem, understand the words that I'm about to tell you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. Then he said to me, do not be afraid, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart on understanding this and on humbling yourself before your God, your words were heard. And I have come in response to your words. And the prince of the kingdom of Persia was withstanding me for 21 days. Then behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left there with the kings of Persia. Now I have come to give you an understanding of what will happen to your people in the latter days. For the vision pertains to the days yet future. And when he had spoken to me according to these words, I turned my face toward the ground and became speechless. And behold, one who resembled a human being was touching my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke and said to him who was standing before me, O my Lord, as a result of the vision, anguish has come upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can such a servant of my Lord talk with such as my Lord? As for me, there remains just now no strength in me, nor has any breath been left in me. Then this one with human appearance touched me again and strengthened me. And he said, O man of high esteem, do not be afraid. Peace be with you. Take courage and be courageous. Now as soon as he spoke to me, I received strength and said, may my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. Then he said, do you understand why I came to you? But I shall now return to fight against the prince of Persia. So I am going forth, and behold, the prince of Greece is about to come. However, I will tell you what is inscribed in the writing of truth. Yet there is no one who stands firmly with me against these forces except Michael, your prince. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God. Lord, we, God, our heart's desire, God, is to go beyond ourselves, Lord. God, we want to be used by you, God, significantly, God. We want you to affect every area of our lives, God. Lord, we want your love to flow through our lives. And so would you change us, transform us, God. Lord, we are weak, God, but you are strong. And so help us, God, in this place. Lord, we ask you to release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit in this room. Lord, give us an ear to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to each one of us individually and corporately as a body. God, I humble myself, God. I ask that you use me today to preach your prophetic word with power and authority, God. Lord, come, Lord, and transform us. Come and love us, God. We bless you, Father. We love you, God. And in Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Amen. And so, in Daniel chapter 10, Daniel receives this vision. And he gets this vision of what's going to happen to Israel. And the vision just rocks him. You know, he is just so amazed and amazed like in a bad way where like dread and anguish come upon him, you know, because the Lord begins to show him what's about to happen to his people, right? The abomination of desolation. And so he sees what's going to happen and he enters into a season of fasting. He starts praying to the Lord about what's going to happen, you know, or what's happening. There's a warfare, right? A conflict begins to erupt. And Daniel saw the warfare coming, so he prepared himself by fasting. And so let's talk about Daniel's fast for a moment. He fasted 21 days, and that's where we get this whole idea of 21 days, right?
He says the word there, he says he has no pleasant food. The Hebrew word is kamad. And kamad is something that you desire to covet, to long for, something that's precious, something that's costly, right? It's kamad, you know? And so, and he doesn't eat any meat, he doesn't have any wine, he doesn't have any ointment, you know? The word is kuk, which is oil that's used after a bath, especially for a fragrant effect. And sometimes it's used for medicinal purposes, right? And so this was Daniel's fast, you know? And notice that there was a sacrifice here. You know, he in the king's palace where he had access to anything he wanted, there was a sacrifice that took place. The word is he had no pleasant food, you know? And so, I mean, let me just share with you just a little bit, right, about this, the spirit of fasting. You know, I'm trying to say it in the best way, right? You know, fasting, like you're doing a vegetable fast, you know? It doesn't mean you're having, like, two huge bags of French fries with garlic, pepper, and, you know, all these things. I mean, it's, yeah, okay, you may be fasting meat, but is that really the spirit of the fast? You know what I mean? Or maybe you're not having meat, but you're eating 50 billion other things. That's not really quite the spirit of the fast. You guys understand what I'm saying? Daniel, he says he didn't have anything that was tasty. He laid down, and I heard, you know, people are doing Daniel fasts and stuff, but it's like kind of like gone awry, you know, like just wrong in some ways. Right? You know, let the Holy Spirit speak to you. You know, yes, you're omitting a certain kind of food, right? But stay to the spirit of the fast. You know, you're keeping to the letter, but then I don't know if that's so beneficial. I mean, you know, I'm not your dad, right? And so I'm not going to tell you, you know, I'm not the fasting guru and I say this is acceptable, this is not acceptable, you know, this, right? But I think you know yourself, right? I think you know what's going on in your own lives, right? You keep to the spirit of it. You know, if you want to just keep to the letter, this is a kind of a different idea, right? And sure, yeah, you're not doing this, but then you're having 50 jillion this. You know, there should be a sense of sacrifice, you know, in this whole thing. And that's how Daniel operated. Daniel, he had tasteless bread. You know what I mean? You know, it wasn't like he had garlic, honey, you know, honey butter, you know, thing, you know, and, you know, croissants and, you know, all this stuff. And, you know, ate six donuts. That's still, well, Pastor Sam, that's still bread. Yeah, it is. But again, it's not the spirit of the fast. You guys understand what I'm saying? Right? You know, and vegetables, if you're doing vegetables, well, stay to the spirit of the matter. You know, and it'll do you some good, right? There's a sacrifice that's there. And so, this is Daniel's fast, right? 21 days. So I'm just going to talk four simple points, and then we'll finish in prayer. Four simple points, right? Or this is what I call the overflow of fasting in our life. What happens? What are the overflows of fasting? And I'm not just going to use Daniel 10 to just teach out of that, right? Number one, fasting and prayer opens up our spiritual eyes, right? Fasting and prayer opens up our spiritual eyes. In chapter 10, verse 7, it says, "Now I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, while the men who were with me did not see the vision. Nevertheless, a great dread fell upon them, and they ran away to hide themselves." So something significant happened in that room. You know, Daniel was seeking the Lord. He was fasting. He was meditating. He was drawing near to God, waiting for an answer. You know, significant things were happening, right? And only he was the only one that saw and the vision was amazing. Here's this angel, right, dressed, his gold, you know, helmet, belt. I mean, this crazy kind of stuff, all these jewels all around. Other guys didn't see it, but they recognized something happened. And they ran and hid. Right? Isn't that like the worst feeling in the world? You know what I mean? Like you're totally left out. You know, like everyone's talking about something, you know, and everyone's kind of, you know, like something happened, but you were there, but you didn't get to experience it. Like it just totally just passed right by you. You know, and Daniel said that only Daniel alone saw the vision. Everyone else that was, they were all in the same room. Right? They sensed something happen in the sense that they ran and hid, but only he got to experience God in that place. Fasting and prayer opens up your spiritual eyes. Right? Why Daniel and not the other guys? Well, he entered into a season of prayer and fasting.
You know, it's a supernatural transaction, if I could say it in that way, took place, right? His companions were filled with fear, you know, but not Daniel. He stood in that place, right? And wouldn't you love to have this kind of encouragement or this kind of heart, right? You know, it's like you're in a room, the world is falling apart, everyone's scared for their life, and you stand up, you know, kind of like Superman, right? You're right in that place. You know, it's like, and it's like you become immovable in a certain way, right? Because the grace, the power of God's over you, right? Because God set you apart for an assignment in that place. You know, I've heard many people, you know, tell me, you know, in their workplace, you know, people say, hey, you know, people are getting laid off left and right, and, you know, and people are worrying about their salary and their bonus, and people are complaining about this and that, you know, oh, I deserve more, you know, all this kind of stuff. You know, and I've heard testimony from you guys at church, right, that, you know, you stand and people come up and say, hey, man, why are you not worried? You know, Europe is falling apart. You know, the economy is doing this and this and this, and but you're in that place, right, because you got a vision of God in your life. Right? And all it does, it sets you up for an opportunity to share, right, the hope that is within you. Right? It's amazing. This is what happens. Fasting and prayer opens up your spiritual eyes. Number two, fasting and prayer sets us in God's presence. In verse 9 and 10, but I heard the sound of his words, and as soon as I heard the sound of his words, I fell into a deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground. And then behold, a hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. What is he talking about here? He's talking about the effect of the presence of God in our lives. You know, people talk about like being slain in the spirit, resting in the spirit, whatever it is. You know, I mean, I don't care what you call it, right? I don't care what kind of category you lay into it. You know, people talk about shaking under the power, you know, and whatnot. I mean, this is right out of the Bible. It's not like some just, you know, evangelist created this, right? We see evidences, you know, especially in revival of all kinds of spiritual phenomena that's taking place. You know, and in a way that affects us. You know, that affects actually our physical body. And that's what's happening here. He's set right into the presence of God. The word says that he was put in a deep sleep, right? And you can imagine what happens. Daniel's and all of a sudden, and he's out cold, you know? I mean, he's out. Have you ever had an experience like that? You know, I had a few, but I had one very significant time. You know, I was at a church, and it was a conference, and I had been really wrestling with God, you know, and about certain things, you know, and really the bottom line is I was kind of telling God what I would do if I was God, right? You know, kind of like giving him, you know, like advice, you know. God, I think you should do it this way, right? Let me encourage you, right? You will never win that argument. I guarantee you will never win that argument. But I was having one of these times, and so I was at this church, and I was really wrestling with God about some issues, and I was kind of in the middle, you know, there, kind of where Calvin's sitting, and I was in the aisle. This was a huge church, huge auditorium, and I was in the aisle. And then we're worshiping, you know, my hands were raised, and I was really getting into it. And then next thing you know, I'm kind of like just kind of bowing over, you know. And then it was like a progression, right? And next thing you know, I'm like bent over. And then I was on my knees. And then eventually I actually got on my face. I was just laid out on my face. I couldn't move. But I could just feel God's presence, you know. And it was like I had this like pipeline to God. You know, I don't know if you guys watch like superheroes. You know, it's like I had a bat phone, you know, and it was just straight to God. It was this link, you know, and I was talking with God this whole time, and I couldn't move. And all of a sudden, the worship stopped, you know, and then I heard the guy come up and give the announcements. Can you imagine how freaky that looks, right? Imagine I'm preaching right now, right, and some dude is laid out in the middle. You know, just like, you know, he's just out cold, you know. I mean, we would think like, you know, so what's this guy? He's a weird dude, you know. Is he mentally ill, you know, or, you know, or is he like a, you know, vagabond or, you know, or who does he think he is? Is he super spiritual or something? You know, and we have these kind of thoughts, right? And so, you know, I was laid out, right? And all of a sudden, and then they start taking offering. You know, so they start taking, and I could feel people like going over my body, you know, with the offering basket. I'm like, oh, what's happening? And I'm having this argument with God, you know, and I'm saying, God, I don't like this. Why are you doing this to me? I don't want to be the center of attention, and just back and forth, and we're communicating the whole time. I can hear everything that's going on, but I couldn't move, you know, and I finally said, God, I would not do it this way. This is not the way I would do it. You know, and the Lord was, in fact, he didn't have to speak anything. I knew exactly what my problem was, right? I was trying to be God. You know, I was telling him, you know, because, you know, there was a revival was breaking out in Southern California. You know, people were shaking, and it was just crazy. And I told the Lord, I said, don't do that to me. Don't do any of that stuff to me, God. I'm a respectable pastor. You know what I mean? I mean, I have a good reputation. Don't soil my reputation. Right? Because, you know, I don't want to be one of those guys laughing or crying. You know, I just want to be, like, cool, you know, like, steady, be a good leader, right? Look good to people and whatnot. You know, and as soon as I remember yelling, you know, I said, God, I would not do that. This is not the way I would do it. You know, and then I realized, it's like, ding, 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 ding. This has been my problem all along. I've been trying to tell God to be God. I've been telling him what to do in my life, instead of just allowing him to be the Lord of my life. And then as soon as I figured that out, right, I got up, I walked to my seat, you know, and I just asked the Lord to forgive me. And I tell you what, since that day, a major shift has occurred in my heart. You know, and because then you have this discourse, of, why do I want to be respectable? You know what I mean? You know, I read like King David. And he says, hey, man, I'll be even more undignified than this. Like, you know, I was telling his wife, you want to see crazy? So you haven't seen crazy yet. You know, wait till I get out there. You know what I mean? I mean, just this whole different attitude. You know, and I realized I was trying to get my worth from a lot of different areas instead of from the Lord. Right? And in that same place, right, he sets them in this deep sleep of God. Now, I'm not saying that you need to be slain in the spirit. I'm not saying any of these things, right? You know, this is a necessity for your Christian life. It's not. It's not. Right? This is just what God does, right, when the Spirit moves in our lives. You know, but I'm telling you, right, prayer and fasting sets us in God's presence. Man, you need to live in that place. It's like, you know, after 21 days, and you can imagine how discouraged he was, God just sets him in that place, and then he puts him in rest. You know, can you imagine the anguish that he's going through, right, all the turmoil? You know, feel such responsibility over his nation, and God just puts him in that place of perfect peace, you know, for a season, right? God does deep work when he puts us in a deep sleep. Prayer and fasting sets us in God's presence. Number three, fasting and prayer brings God's encouragement. It brings God's encouragement. Look at verse 11. And then he said to me, O Daniel, man of high esteem, understand the words that I'm about to tell you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood up trembling. And he said to me, do not be afraid, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart on understanding this, on humbling yourself before your God, your words were heard. Right? Fasting and prayer brings God's encouragement. He turns to Daniel, right, in verse 11, and says, Daniel, man of high esteem. Imagine what Daniel felt during this time. Imagine, because you may be familiar with this, right? Have you ever like prayed for a season of time and you heard nothing from heaven? Like silence. What do we usually do, right? We usually start blaming God. Oh, God, you don't care for me. Oh, you don't love me, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Can you imagine how Daniel felt? And Daniel had an uncommon relationship with God. You know what I mean? Daniel, you know, God plucked him out, you know, into slavery, raised him up, favor of the Lord, right? Thrown into a lion's den, unharmed, right? Favor after favor. Can you imagine when God spoke, right? And Daniel was the best in the whole kingdom about interpreting dreams and visions, you know? He was a man connected with God. And now for 21 days, he's seeking God for the most horrible thing he's ever seen before, and nothing, not a whisper from heaven. Can you imagine how discouraged Daniel is? And the angel of the Lord comes and says, Daniel, man of high esteem. And then on top of that, he's saying, Daniel, your labor was not in vain. From the first day that you set your heart to understand, in other words, you set your face towards God and you humbled yourself, God heard and he sent the message out. Can you imagine that? How many of us would be encouraged to know, right? I mean, really, how many of you would be encouraged to know that prayer you've been praying for years, right? That request that you've been offering to the Lord for ages, that from the first day you set your heart to seek his face, that you humbled yourself, that God heard your prayer. I think that's pretty darn encouraging, don't you think? Right? That it wasn't folly. Our prayers didn't just disappear into thin air somewhere. That God actually heard your prayers. Right? He was there. He listened, right, to you in these things. Right? Fasting and prayer brings God's encouragement. You know? And there are many of you in this room today. You need God's encouragement. You need God, right, to bring life into those dry bones that have just been decaying day after day after day. Right? Prayer and fasting brings God's encouragement. The last one, number four. Fasting and prayer brings God's answers. Fasting and prayer brings God's answers. Right? Look at verse 12 and 13. He says, "Do not be afraid, Daniel, for the first day that you set your heart on understanding this and on humbling yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I've come in response to your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia was withstanding me for 21 days. Then behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I've been left there with the kings of Persia." Right? What Daniel is relaying to us, what the angel is relaying through Daniel, is the nature of the warfare that's taking place, right? God released the answer, but there was something happening in the interim. Let me try to explain this to you a little bit, right? In the Bible, and I've taught this many times, right? So if you've heard this before, you can just hear it again. When the Bible in Genesis, when the scriptures say that God created the heavens and the earth, notice the earth is singular, right? But the heavens is plural, right? Genesis, God created the heavens and the earth. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, right? Paul goes up, he has a vision, right? And it says that God took him to the third heaven, and he called that heaven paradise, right? This would be the same word that Jesus used to the thief on the cross in Luke 24, right? And he says, "Today you shall be with me in paradise." What we have here, so we can recognize there's three heavens, right? Three layers, I don't know how you want to describe it. The third heaven is what we typically call heaven, you know, everlasting, eternal life, you know. What we typically think, that's paradise, that's heaven. This is where we're all going to go. Every person that has trusted the Lord Jesus Christ for their life, right, when we die, we will go to the third heaven, paradise. There is a second heaven that's laid out there, and this is the realm, right, in the scriptures where we see the angels, the demons. We see our prayers activating the bowls of incense that, you know, or the prayers of the saints that rise up as bowls as incense, you know, before the Lord, right? This is all this stuff is happening in the second heaven. The first heaven is the atmosphere that we see, the sky, you know, the heavens, right? We look at that, right? God is above all of these things, obviously, you know, but this is kind of how he lays it out, you know, so theologically for us. And so what is happening here in this chapter is the Lord, the angel is kind of unveiling for us a little bit, right? This is a curtain, right? So it's unveiling happening, right? The curtain is happening, right? The unveiling is happening before us, you know? And so what that is we actually get a glimpse now of what's happening in the second heaven. And so notice, right? He says, as soon as you pray, you sought understanding, you humbled yourself. The moment you prayed, your prayers from earth passed through the physical heaven, went into the second heaven, actually punctured into the third heaven, right? And beyond that, to where God was, moved all the way to God's ears. He heard, he sent the response, but in the second heaven, 21 days, there was a battling that was taking place. There was a warfare that was happening. You know, all through from Genesis all the way out, we'll see little snippets of this in the scriptures, right? You know, where the Lord will unveil for us, you know, a little picture of what's going on. Do you remember, I think it was Elisha, you know, and the Aramean army was surrounding him, right? And his servants were just scared out of their wits. And Elijah, well, he was so bold. I was like, man, Elijah's a man. You know, he was so bold. You know, and he looked at a huge army, and these guys are nothing. His servants were afraid, and so he just, it's so awesome. He goes, Lord, open their eyes. Let them see. And do you remember what they saw? Chariots of fire, these chariots surrounding this army, about to pummel these guys. I mean, can you imagine how confident you would be? You know what I mean? Like, you know, everyone else is afraid, but you know this chariots, right, in a word, destroy, I mean, mutilate this army that's about to kill you. That's confidence. You know what I mean? And stuff. And so we see in passages where God just unveils a little bit, and we get to see into this third heaven. It's amazing, right? You know, many of us are quite sensitive spiritually, you know. It could be good and bad, right? You know, in the sense that it could be occultic, you know, because they're quite sensitive as well. You know, I don't think people gravitate toward the occult, you know, like people just decide, oh, you know what, I'm just going to be an occultist today, you know, and they just start messing with crystals and, you know, yoga and all these kind of things. I don't think that's really like a normal kind of thing. I think there's a spiritual sensitivity that they gravitate towards, right? You know, and so, you know, in that, for me, I'm not the most sensitive guy. I mean, I hear from God, and you know, I can prophesy and do these things. But in terms of like that piercing into that second heaven, that's not really my cup of tea, you know. But I always have people around me that are quite good at that. And when I was a high school pastor, I had one of my students, you know, and he was very sensitive, and he was he's actually Chinese, but he was raised in Korea, right? So we just call him Jampong. And if you don't know what that is, just ask a Korean American; they'll tell you. And so he used to, I used to take him with me, and we used to go to play. I used to speak at retreats or go to different places, and I say, "Hey, man, do you see anything in the room?" And he'd be like, "Yeah, there's a couple of demons hanging out over there. There's one over there. There's one under the radiator, right?" And I'd be like, "Thanks, great. He'd say, okay, Jesus, get out right now, you know." And stuff, and then we have like an open heaven to preach and to minister, and you know, and some of you may operate in that realm. You know, most of us don't. It's not, you know, I don't know if you should crave it, right? I mean, I don't want to see demons everywhere. You know what I mean? That's just not my thing, right? It's not good or bad, you know. But it's this realm that exists, right? And if you don't believe me, just read the Bible, you know. Just read the Bible. It's full of angels and demons and curses and blessings and, you know, and all these things that are happening here. You know, for me, I'm sad, you know, but also a bit angry and perplexed at the same time at you know, a lot of churches in the world, right? Christian churches, they're more humanist, right, in terms of their theology and their outlook of life than they are biblical. You know what I mean? It's all scientific, you know? It's all, you know, and I'm like, actually, have you ever read the Bible? It's a spiritual book. You know, it doesn't mean that you're supposed to be dumb and turn your brain off, you know? I mean, and you can see, and science is all over the scriptures. But a lot of times, a lot of churches become so more humanistic, right? You know, more, you know, out of the Renaissance, more than anything else, you know, than we are actually biblical. You know, and I don't know about you guys, I want to go back to biblical Christianity. You know, I want to go back to the things in the scriptures, man. You know, and this listen, friend, this realm exists. It exists. You know, there's something about your prayers. When you pray, you sought the Lord's face, you humbled your prayers, it went straight to God. He heard it on the first hearing. He was there. But see, but the bounce back. There's something happening in this warfare. That's why we pray. That's why we fast. That's why we set ourselves apart in this season. Do you know what I mean? I mean, think about this for a moment. Can you imagine of what's going on in that realm? that belongs to you. That's your inheritance. That's your possession. That you're not living out here on earth. I mean, can you imagine, right? The treasures that God is wanting to release into our lives. You know? Let's not be lazy. Let's pray God's purposes. You know? Let's open the heavens. Let's open the veil. Let's open the realm of God that he can just flow down, you know, into our lives. You know, he promised us, you know, even a simple thing like giving, right? He says, if you give, he says, man, look, I'm going to open the floodgates of heaven and shower down blessing, you know, upon our lives. Can you imagine? I mean, giving is another act. Can you imagine what other things that God has in store for you that are yours, your inheritance, right? That God wants to shower down. But there's something, there's a warfare that's going on. There's a battle. There's a fight. You know, there's powers and principalities, world forces, right, that are engaged in this battle. I mean, it sounds like a pretty darn good movie, huh? You know, and stuff. But it's happening around us, right? And so what prayer and fasting does, right, it brings those answers down. It aids in that warfare. Right, Daniel lasted 21 days, right? And it took 21 days for that answer to come down. And so in a real simple picture, you know, I see what happens is Daniel prays, right? And it's like, I mean, this is going to sound really ridiculous, right? But, you know, like as a 10-year-old can understand. It's like our prayers are like food that goes up to heaven, right? Which the angels eat that makes them stronger to fight this battle. Now, obviously, God is much bigger than the enemy and whatnot, but yet there's still this battle that's going on there. You know, and it's, right, it's the prayers of the saints rise up like incense to the Lord. You know, and the Bible talks about these harps, right, these bowls in heaven, right? And it's the prayers of the saints are just filling these bowls and filling these bowls. And then eventually, when the bowls get filled, it overturns, right? Let me just make a suggestion to you, right? You know, we had the Arab Spring. Do you think that just happened overnight? I know all the CNN and I want to say, oh my goodness, it was a Twitter thing, you know, it was a Facebook revolution and it just happened overnight. I want to suggest to you, there have been thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people that have prayed. Right? You know, they just sought God. Revival breaks out somewhere. You know, sometimes, honestly, it's ridiculous for me when I hear people say, oh, this person brought revival to this place. Really? Are you really going to say that? I feel sorry for you when you get to heaven. God's going to slap you around for a season, right? Why are you taking credit for something? Because there were prayers offered up to the Lord, prayer after prayer after prayer. And then the bowl of incense was poured out and upon a nation, upon a city, upon a church, upon a people. You know what I mean? We can't take credit for this. It was thousands of people praying. You know, what I'm really encouraged this season, you know, I know North Korea and all these things are happening. You know, I've been tracking this. In the last 5 years or so, right, there's been so much prayer going up about North Korea. Right? In this second heaven, this realm, so much prayer is going, God's going to, that bowl is getting heavy, man. It's going to tip soon. Right? And as soon as it tips, watch to see what happens. You know, and then CNN and all these news stations go, wow, it happened overnight. You know, and then we as a church will know, no, it didn't. It was years and years and years of people just praying and praying, seeking God's face, fasting, right? Going out and doing the work, right? And it tips over, right? Fasting and prayer brings God's answers. It aids in the warfare of God. It aids, right? And whatever's happening in this realm, right? Something gets affected in this place. Amen? Let's close our eyes today. Some of us need our eyes opened up. Some of us need to be set in God's presence many of us need the encouragement of the Lord. And all of us needs His answers. I want to encourage you to go before the Lord. Whatever it is that you need, whatever it is that's on your heart right now, just take it to Jesus. Just begin to talk to Him about these points. Talk to Him about this season of fasting that you're in right now. Maybe this next week, God wants you to step it up. Just go before the Lord and just take care of business as a worship team leads us.
You just need God's presence right now. worship team is going to sing this again over us. And if you're in that place, all I want you to just to raise your hand. Right? You can be seated in your seat. Just raise your hand. And just have a few people come around you. Just pray. Right? The Bible says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And His presence is going to come over you. Right? So if there's anyone in this room, right, then you say, you know, Pastor Sam, I wouldn't mind to be set in His presence right now. There's stuff going on. Right, just right where you're at. Just lift your hand just nice and gently. Just leave it in the air. And so the rest of us as a community, let's just look around the room. Let's find our friends, our church members. Let's just pray for one another. Looks like it's all on the left side today, except for Dave in the back. Let's just lay your hands and just be the conduit of God's presence in their life right now. And you watch what God does. And if you are the one receiving prayer, I don't want you to talk. You don't have to pray anymore. If you're kissing someone, you don't talk. You just enjoy. Let's let the Lord love you right now. If you don't feel a hand on you, once you feel a hand, you can put your hand down. If you don't feel a hand, keep your hand up. There's a sister here in the front. Let's pray. Let's pray.
Life. And so we call them to live.
rise to our feet and sing this as a declaration, an anthem before the Lord. If you're praying, please do continue to pray for one another.
Thank you for many, God, that are sacrificing, Lord. God, that are just spending this season, God, or just trying to be absorbed in you, Lord, that are laying down legitimate pleasures, God. Not just substituting, Lord, but laying down legitimate pleasures for the extreme pleasures of knowing you, God. Lord, take us beyond ourselves, God. Lord, we want to experience you, Lord, so much more. God, than what we're experiencing right now. So come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. And draw us to your feet, Lord. Watch over us this week, God. Thank you, Lord. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. And the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Would you hug someone next to you?